Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Yeah.
Oh. Welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I am your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. Got my co-host here, Dr. Carl Nadolski Jr.
Yep.
And today we thought we would discuss dietary evangelism.
And the evangelists, yeah. Etc.
Evangelists. So here's the deal. You're on social media. You may not see this in the general world. You may be your Aunt Karen or whoever.
Yeah.
And
yeah, most of our, to be honest, if you're one of our patients listening, my patients especially, most of them do not get sucked into these rabbit holes, I don't think. But, you know, some of us do, some of you do, and especially if you're on social media.
Yeah. So what you see on social media, it's really an interesting place because it's a place where all of the evangelists can aggregate in one single Facebook group. On Twitter, they have their little hashtags and little factions. On Instagram, you got the keto pages, the plant-based pages, and whatever, calorie and, you know, calorie counting macro pages, whatever it is. And if you ever even question their way of eating, just like religion, they get extremely upset. And this, honestly, it doesn't really make sense because there are certain dietary principles that we've talked about often on this podcast. So for example, I'll post that, you know, I just posted a meme how, hey, this is me trying, it was like the bird watch or what was it, Bird Box from Netflix. I never watched the movie. It just had great memes where the guy's behind the lady trying to open up her eyes. And I said, this is me trying to show people that all diets that work do so through reducing calorie intake.
For weight loss specifically.
For weight loss specifically, yes. Not for, let's say, lipids or something like that. But for weight loss specifically. And what's so interesting is that you see, depending on where you are, many people can get upset from this. Specifically, the keto people really get upset with this because a lot of times they feel like it's their hormonal changes from the diet, you know, specifically insulin decreasing, that's causing their fat to come off their body. They also talk about how their diet's more satiating than others, which, you know, may be true for some individuals, but doesn't seem to be true on a population level. And people just get really upset. So another example is if you say something like diets don't really work that well for obesity on a general level, the calorie and macronutrient counters will get upset and basically say, are you kidding me? Calorie counting always works. Calorie counting, you just have to be in a calorie deficit.
Right. Or just even, and, you know, I would say if anybody's a lifestyle evangelical, we are.
Yeah.
But it seems like those to the even more extreme of lifestyle evangelism, they get upset about that too. And they say, what are you talking about? Of course they work, but you have to stick to them.
Yeah.
Without acknowledging the nuance of, you know, the obesity pathophysiology that's driving the work that's going against people. And so, you know, so what does evangelical even mean, first of all? Because, you know, I use that term, it's one of my favorite terms, and people do have they associate that with religion, because one of the definitions does have to do with the teaching of the Christian religion specifically. So when people hear about it on the news, it often has to do with that. But the reason I think it has to do with that is because one of the other definitions is, it means to be zealous in advocating something. And that's where it really, really fits in nicely with these diet wars that we see, especially on social media. And unfortunately, even in the scientific, academic, medical world. I mean, these are physicians oftentimes we see pushing the extremes. And I think in our world these days, it's different now, right? Everyone knows this. This is not a secret. But, you know, yeah, religion, and we're not going to get into religion on this podcast for sure, but religion, politics. How extreme have politics become, more so than ever before, maybe because of social media?
Yeah, I'd say.
It's probably a different world now, and it's not just those things that you hear so much about on the news and whatnot. It's nutrition, it's diet, it's even medicine, specifically healthcare that we get into.
Yeah, we'll be on Twitter, and there's certain new drugs that come out, and then the study's a little bit controversial, I guess is the term, because of the methodology of how it was put together and how it was run. And what you'll see are certain doctors on two sides start fighting about it, and there become factions of, are you on this side or this side of that drug? And, you know, even with like the obesity drugs, so in our world, obesity drugs, you'll have some groups that will basically say diets don't work, you should just go on a medicine or just get surgery. And then on the other hand, you get people that say, no, diets always work. It's just a calorie deficit. Nobody needs surgery or medicines. And we sit there and laugh because it's like, well, of course, there are some. Like, look, on a population level, diets aren't that effective. I guess you could say diets for most people, the majority of people are not going to be effective at reducing your adiposity to a clinically meaningful level for a long period of time.
Because we have significant genetics and pathophysiology that work against us, and everyone's different.
But yes, there are some people that will be able to do it. There's a small portion of people that will be able to do it forever, for their lifetime. And it's not common, but to say they just simply do not work is false. To say that they always work is false. And of course there's a gray middle, but like for some reason on the internet, especially if you say keto, I always like picking on the keto because these guys are crazy. You say keto and they're going to say, I don't know anybody who has ever failed a ketogenic diet. If they're doing keto, they're going to keep their weight off. It's like, well, first of all, I have thousands and thousands of people that sign up for my medical online program and they all say they did keto. And what are you going to do? You're going to say they're lying. They claim that they did it. They measure their ketones. They lost a little bit of weight.
And the studies obviously show that that's not true.
Yeah.
And of course, then the keto evangelicals will say, no, but that's because they didn't stick to it. Well, that's the whole point.
That's the point.
Any diet, we know that if we are able to adhere to improved dietary changes that create that energy deficit that we always talk about, then people would be able to lose weight. Yeah. But it is that pathophysiology of obesity defending, you know, whatever we want to call it, the adiposity set point that works against people. I was just having this conversation with a person on my virtual clinic this morning. And I was describing how it's hard. I know it's hard. She's been trying forever. She is someone who cannot stop herself from eating the high starchy carbs. And she tries to go low carb and she can't help it. And it somehow ends up there in her house. It overrides her executive function of her brain.
Right.
Because the biology is that strong. So
she just doesn't want it enough. That's what people will say.
What those people will say. Yeah. And that's not true. Because once we treat the physiology with a medicine or surgery or, you know, we'll do some more evaluation, then I'm very confident she's going to do very well.
Right. And so anyway, the whole point of this podcast is like we get in fights with these people and the problem is the
which we shouldn't do because it drives us crazy.
These evangelists, they're the ones that get all the likes because I've studied marketing and this is how I understand how certain things do well and viral on social media and get likes and shares and whatever. The more extreme you go, the more likes it will get. And the reason is because first of all, people love the extreme. And if it's a little bit weird too, and a little bit novel, it'll do even better. And then the people that disagree with it, they'll come on and start commenting and it'll boost the algorithm for it. Mm-hmm. So if you make a comment such as that the only diet that works is a ketogenic diet because it's the only diet that addresses your hormones, boom, that thing would go viral. and the people, the calorie, you know, calorie bros would come in and start saying, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I would do it too, probably. And,
evangelicals will defend it.
Yes. And defend it.
To the death almost.
Yeah. The people that have actually lost weight and kept it off with keto will be like, this is the only thing that worked. I was eating 1200 calories and then I went keto and then I lost the weight. Like that didn't actually happen, but you know, you can.
Yeah. But it maybe helped you do that. That's the thing.
It did help you do it.
You know, the other thing with this whole, you know, extremism that's happening in our society and on social media, politics and everything else, it's the tribalism, right?
Yeah,
so tribalism where people need to feel like they're on a team.
Yeah.
And that's why we have sports, I think, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason that we are diehard Chicago Bears fans other than we just are. And we love the Bears and we sort of, you know, our mood changes if they win or if they lose, but it's still just a sport and they're out there, you know, we're paying, obviously they're professional athletes, they're having fun, but you know, it's not like it's a big deal in the real world beyond the competition in sports, but that's our team. You know, we went to Michigan State, I bleed green and white, you know, we wrestled there, you played some football there. We love our Spartans. But, you know, life is more important than sports, you know, in reality, even though we love that stuff. But that's where tribalism is okay. You know,
because it's fun. It's supposed to be fun.
That's your sport. That's your team. But God, we got to get away from that for, you know, politics and everything else. And especially in healthcare. God, we shouldn't be on teams. We just need to do what's right for people on an individual basis. And there's a lot of nuance. And we should be able to have these scientific academic discussions amongst doctors and scientists, but also be able to personalize it for people and not let people get completely sucked in and be on one of these teams.
Some of it comes down to, I mean, you know, as much as it sounds, you know, like a conspiracy theory, some of it comes down to money, you know? So like,
sure, of course.
If your bottom dollar, if your livelihood depends on selling books that try to push the notion that ketogenic diet or fasting or whatever, or even plant-based diets are the best, and that's your livelihood, you're just going to keep you going. On a larger scale, you know, we like big pharma drugs if they're good and effective, but like, you know, there's probably something there with, you know, obviously with big pharma in the past, then also big insurance. Think about big insurance.
That's my big issue. I think insurance is ruining our healthcare system.
It's a farce. The fact that like, so here's an example. I have, a patient, this is happening now. People lose the weight on these medicines, a GLP-1. The FDA indication was, you know, 27 with comorbidities if a BMI or 30 BMI and above, no comorbidities. Okay, fine. Let's say I have a 35 BMI patient who had pre-diabetes. Now they have a 24 BMI. Everything's gone. All of a sudden, some insurances are now refusing to pay for the medicines.
Which is ridiculous and not how it's indicated and not labeled at all, by
imagine,
the way. That's ridiculous.
Imagine being on a blood pressure medicine and your blood pressure is 160 over 95, whatever. It's pretty high. And you go on, you know, a few medicines maybe, and it gets down to like 115 over 75. And then the insurance goes, oh, okay, that's interesting. Looks good now. I'm going to stop it. That's the equivalent. It makes zero sense. So not only do we have, anyway, this is going off on a little bit of a tangent.
Here's a more extreme example. You have multivessel coronary artery disease that's symptomatic, and you end up getting a four-vessel coronary artery bypass graft, and you're doing great, living well, no pain, and the insurance company says, hey, all right, you fixed your angina. Let's put those vessels back in your leg and give you back your old coronaries that are blocked.
Yeah, well, or just not give you, or give you medicines to prevent them from atherosclerotic back up. You know,
that's a real life thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, evangelism can be dietary, which is the topic of this that drives us insane. But then it goes. There are vested interests all over the place that you kind of have to question why they're so extreme.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, we're pretty extreme about lifting weights, but then in the end, even for my debate,
yeah.
Our debate when I was like, come on, do some lifting weights. But then at the end, we're like, I don't really care. If you want to do aerobic training, go ahead. Just do it.
Yeah.
Do whatever you're going
to
do, please.
Some sort of combination of anything we can get you to do. Exercise is medicine. It's good for you. And we'll work on it and personalize it. So the bottom line up front, really, for people listening, is if it sounds like it's an extreme sort of evangelical concept, you probably should have a very healthy amount of skepticism and go towards some education on the more nuance. But let's talk about some examples of these dietary evangelicals that we deal with, some of whom are very, good at what they do. From the keto sort of team to the vegans to the fasting issues. But let's talk about some of them. I think one of our favorite guys is this Twitter guy who really comes across as very abrasive. He's a physician who lost a lot of weight doing keto diet, right? It's your boy, your favorite guy in the world named Dr. Tro. I don't even know his real name, but
it's Tro Kelly. I don't know how to say his last name, but anyway, Tro.
He is someone who, felt like himself that the healthcare industry was maybe failing him. He's a physician and he went keto and he lost a lot of weight and he's maintaining it, right?
Yeah.
But then he attacks people online. He attacks other physicians and he attacks our healthcare academic science expertise and whatever else to say, nope, everyone's wrong. The whole world's wrong. Everyone has to do keto. And if you aren't, and then he starts using expletives, which, we're fans of expletives, but geez, not directed towards people. And especially in a professional, not that Twitter's a professional forum, but he literally throws F-bombs at other physicians and says they're, idiots for following the science. So that's one, that's a true evangelical. True. And yet he sometimes says things that are not wrong. And within the realm of science,
that's the true sign of a good, smart charlatan. They'll mix in some truths with some other, so they'll seem kind of reasonable, and then all of a sudden they'll be extreme on some other things, and it's like, wait, they say some good stuff here, and it's true. Yeah. They will
and
say
really,
some
yeah, yeah. You
stuff.
Wouldn't even, if you didn't know better, you wouldn't even say that. You would just, it would just all sound reasonable to you,
right?
Right. Because so much of it is reasonable, but
telltale signs. If something just seems a little extreme, just your little spidey sense should go up and go like, okay, I don't know if this guy or gal is right or wrong, but this seems a little bit extreme. I'm trying to think.
Of the posts he made the other day that got us sucked into a thing and I made a little, I kind of got involved. I don't get involved in the social media stuff as much as you do. And I did because it just kind of drove me crazy. But, he just made a blanket statement that said saturated fats are healthy because he is so far to the extreme of this keto zealotry that they think if you are keto, that nothing else matters. If you don't have any carbs, any sugar, and by the way, they include fruit, which is an extreme. We all know that fruit and vegetables and beans, legumes have fruit.
Some of these people say fruit's poison.
Right. So he's one of those people. And so then he goes to the other extreme and says, saturated fats are healthy. And then when I point out that is not a true, it's an inappropriate statement to sort of trick people because it has no nuance.
Nothing.
Then he goes, what about this nice review from the Journal of American College of Cardiology? Which, don't get me wrong, it was a very nice review about going over the nuances of saturated fatty acids.
That review specifically has been
highly. But I think it's not a bad review, actually, if you read into it, because it does, it at least opens up the nuances. It talks about saturated fatty acids from cheese and how it's different than other saturated fatty acids. There are a lot of different types of saturated fatty acids and the foods that they come in.
Yeah.
But to just blanket statement that saturated fatty acids are healthy, which if anything, they are, some of them are not unhealthy per se.
Right. Less harmful.
Some of them are potentially harmful. And then we know that all the studies show if you replace saturated fatty acids, sources of saturated fatty acids with sources of monounsaturated
it would be the poly. Equivalent. It would be it's the equivalent of crazy. Me saying carbs are healthy.
Right. Which again, people have to have some nuance, and there are definitely people who do that. And there are. So then the other side of the extreme, the other evangelicals are the sort of the low fat or the vegetarian vegan evangelicals who almost say that kind of thing, who say,
you have to say plant-based because otherwise they're going to yell at you and say vegan's not a diet. It's a lifestyle that has to do with ethics. They always yell at me and I'm always like, whatever.
That's an evangelical sort of
doesn't matter, too. Honestly. But.
So here's my argument is that the people who claim plant-based is truly like avoiding all animal products or whatever, I would argue strongly with that. I think we all need to eat more whole foods and have a more of a plant-based diet, probably in general, more vegetables, more beans, more legumes, more fruit, and just like the keto people, lower in refined, processed, you know, starches, carbs, etc. But on an individual basis, there are different types of, you know, especially whole food starches that are probably pretty reasonable for different people, depending on what your issues are and who you are, athletes versus people with type 2 diabetes, but the people who are plant-based think that should mean that you're not eating any animal products. But then we get into the nuances of vegetarianism, lacto-vegetarianism, the pesco-vegetarianism or pescatarian, you know, having some fish, having some dairy, having some eggs. You know, there's all these different little nuances. But ultimately it comes back to there are certainly some dietary patterns that have been shown to be beneficial. There are individual nuances and preferences. And I always say my favorite term is that these things don't have to be mutually exclusive. We have people who we need to cut out especially their sugary beverage intake. You know, we're kind of shills for diet beverages. I think that the data strongly support drinking diet artificially or non-nutritively sweetened beverages over sugary beverages. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean we, I don't know.
Oh, think about fasting. Yeah, you know, I would talk about fasting Fred. You got keto Carl, keto Ken, whoever, keto Karen. And then you got fasting Fred. I talked about vegan Vincent and detox Debbie, but people wanted me to switch vegan Vincent to plant-based Pete, whatever. Plant-based Paula. But you know, fasting is the same kind of thing. You have to fast to have an improved lifestyle. And again, what are the principles of fasting? So, you know, energy deficit, once you do that, then you start getting all these metabolic benefits from the reduced adiposity and reduced energy intake. Maybe there's some benefit beyond that, but doesn't seem much.
Not in a really big clinical relevant sense. There was doesn't just another systematic review just came out recently looking at, you know, the different types of fasting and ultimately still came back to, well, if it helps create an energy deficit, that's a good thing, but it's not necessarily any better per se than other types of dietary patterns that create an energy deficit. But we can always combine it with one of those things. We can be more plant-based. We can be a little bit more low carb. We can cut fat. We can do some fasting. You know, we can use meal replacement shakes. That probably has some of the best evidence to support the benefits for, you know, treating obesity and type 2 diabetes for sure. But then on the other hand, I think there was also a trial that came out. I think it was in Diabetes Care just the other day. And it looked at using different types of fasting, you know, like intermittent fasting, et cetera, for diabetes remission. I think it was over in Asia where they did it, but they compared it to just ad libitum energy intake, mm-hmm. you know, so the fasting diet created an energy deficit without using meal replacement shakes, like a lot of the other studies done by Roy Taylor, et cetera, in the UK, where they used meal replacement protein shakes and vegetables to create an extraordinary energy deficit and put people into remission. This was using, you know, intensive intermittent fasting plans to create that energy deficit. And they did a good job of losing weight and going into remission from their type 2 diabetes too. Yeah. So there are all these different ways to do it. And they don't have to be used in silos. They don't have to be against each other. Why are these all different teams?
Because it's a team. They like their teams.
You know what we should do? We should be an all-star team. Nobody likes the Pro Bowl has gone down the tubes lately. And then they don't even have it. It's going to be a flag game this year. Did you know that?
Nobody cares about the Pro Bowl.
I always cared about the Pro Bowl. I love the Pro Bowl. That's why I don't get as much play on social media. I need to be more of an evangelical. Maybe I'm gonna start that the All-Star diet.
Yeah, all right. Nobody will follow.
we're gonna be a ketogenic, plant-based, low fat, intermittent fasting, meal replacement shake diet, and
so you're going to eat, let's see. Well, you're going to eat
you're going to have some protein shakes, but a block of tofu. But all in a no tofu.
For lunch?
Just more vegetables. No more.
Well, how are you going to get your protein in from the protein shakes?
No, because it's plant. I'm telling you, plant-based doesn't have to be vegetarian. So it's going to be plant-based, but I'm going to throw a shtickle of fish in there. And we're going to do protein shakes because we're going to do meal replacement shakes.
We're only going to eat
for 4 hours a day.
You're going to put a fish in a blender with a protein shake and some broccoli.
And only for 4 hours a day. You only get that one meal a day, but you get to snack on nuts. So it's Mediterranean because that has the best evidence for cardiovascular and cardiometabolic data. The calorie bros
will say that won't work because nuts are so energy dense and you only get
12 of each type of nut.
And it's only for 4 hours a day. So
only for 4 hours a day. And that's it. And that's our new diet. That's my all-star diet. My book's going to make billions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, I think you're the only one that would be able to eat that horrible tasting. Did we talk about how you ate a raw piece of corn once and thought it was?
In my defense, it was sweet corn. As we found out later, there are people who eat raw sweet corn.
I don't know anybody that does that, but in Indiana, my mom claimed that my mom and dad had differing opinions on how long you should boil corn, and Jen and I got this corn from God knows where. It's Virginia.
And by the
corn.
Way, this is years later, 30 years after our parents were divorced, but we always forced them to get together.
Virginia corn, I don't know what it was. I don't know.
It was real sweet corn.
But the corn that we had, because we boiled it for like 30 minutes and it still wasn't done. I was like, what is this stuff? This is back when we tried it. And I was like, how long does it take? So then we got together. I don't know where it was, but Rachel, my brother's wife, brought Indiana sweet corn, which is the best corn I've ever tasted in my life. And we did a taste test for Casey. We had one that was raw.
It was at mom's condo, wasn't it?
We didn't tell my brother which one was raw. He didn't even know one was raw. We did one for 5 minutes and one for 10 minutes. And he took a bite of all of them, including the raw corn. Raw. And he thought they all tasted good. And we're like, okay, we can't even take his opinion. He thought the raw corn was good. Anyway, that's a tangent, but basically my brother could eat frozen vegetables and salmon every single night for the rest of his life while I'm gaining adiposity from my tacos and shawarma every single day.
It's a good point talking about what different people can get away with. We're getting a little away from the topic, but you know, speaking of these evangelicals, you know, another thing I saw him post, and I'm not even going to respond. He said, well, here's an example of a patient who finally lost 35 pounds and put his diabetes into remission by going ketogenic, and all because he watched YouTube. And after he had five doctors and he said, this is how our healthcare system is, where people have to watch YouTube videos to unfuck themselves. And I was like, yeah, so do you really want me to use my example of myself? I remain pretty lean. I am fortunate to have really good genetics. I grew up eating pretty darn well, exercising a lot, and I continue to do so. I have pretty good metabolic flexibility, and I stay very lean. I eat, as you know, you like to make fun of me, I often binge on nuts and chocolate every night. So should I be telling everyone, hey, I can stay lean and ripped and I get to eat peanut M&Ms and nuts every night?
Yeah, but some people do that. The macro, the fit your macros.
Well, I know. Well, okay, whatever. You know my
point.
But that's everyone's different. Everyone has different genetics and physiology of their adipocity.
Yeah, guess what happened?
I can get away with it. I'm sorry, but not everyone can. And some people have to do a low fat diet. So using those antidotes is so unhelpful.
It is the stupidest thing.
And that isn't evangelical.
So let's just go by YouTube videos then, because patient came in, bought a $300 detox program from a YouTube video she saw from a chiropractor on YouTube. Okay, so yeah, go ahead, use YouTube. I'm glad the person found something that they thought was, yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, we have a podcast we're trying to teach people. So I hope some people learn something from this too.
It is a stupid, I mean, you have to be so, it's so illogical. The logic just fails in every little avenue. We have patients that come in, you have patients coming in for having hyperthyroidism for taking thyroid supplements that they saw some YouTuber or some social media
thing.
Yeah,
it's really too bad.
We have patients, watching crazy posts on CGMs that are afraid to exercise because they're a little blip in their blood sugar because they did some high intensity exercise, and all sorts of YouTube things that are good and bad. So it's like, look.
Be careful about what you see on the internet. Even, I know we're a podcast, and so you probably should have a little bit of skepticism with us too, just in general. You got to have some skepticism with everyone. If it sounds a little bit off, then
double check your sources.
Figure out who to trust and whatnot. So yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. We went on some rants today. we were just talking about these dietary evangelicals, and we wanted to just chat about it. Hopefully you learned something. Just if anything, be skeptical. We talk about this every time, but skepticism.
If it's extreme and it seems like it's almost too good to be true or doesn't at all sort of correspond to what mainstream science is telling you, not that the basic recommendations out there are always exactly right for you as an individual. But if it seems absolutely against mainstream scientific reasonable recommendations, take it with a grain of salt. Talk to an expert you trust.
Cool. Here's our outro.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll